Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our special guest, the pastor of Discover Church in Melbourne, Australia, and best-selling author, Pastor Steve Ciccolani. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We want to thank you for being a faithful viewer and a faithful partner to the PTL Television Network and to the Jim Baker Family Show. I want to start today's broadcast off. This is day two with Pastor Steve Ciccolanti, and this is a show you are not going to want to miss. If you haven't watched the first one, I urge you, go back on the video on demand and watch that first episode. We're about to go into episode two with Pastor Steve Ciccolanti. Mondo, Revelation 5 says this. This is powerful. It says, then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides sealed with the seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? Amen. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even look in it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.
Amen.
I'm going to let you know right now, that same one who is able and worthy to open the seals has called you worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're in a place where you're feeling down and discouraged, I want to encourage you. Jesus Christ hung on that cross with you on his mind. The Holy Spirit wants to live with you and walk with you and be a part of your everyday activities and discussions. All you have to do is simply allow him to. He'll never lead you astray. He'll never leave you, and he will guaranteed never forsake you, believer. All you simply have to do is say yes to the call of God on your life. And you may be saying, well, I've done too much. I have gone too far astray. I was raised a Christian, but I no longer believe in the faith. I have rejected God altogether. It's okay. There is nobody too far gone for the grace and the love and the honor that God is ready to bestow upon you through the sacrifice. Brother, sister, believer, not because of anything we've done, not because of how good we are, not because of the accolades we can bring to the table, because those mean nothing in the grand scheme of life. It is simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are called worthy, that we are called sons and daughters, heir to the kingdom of God, which will be an eternity. Mondo, an eternity is a long time. People don't realize that. This life is simply a vapor. I absolutely love that in the New Testament. It's a vapor.
Yeah.
Hell for eternity is forever. In 100 trillion years, you could be in hell, which we would hope you would not, but a person could be in hell and realize, oh my goodness, this has just begun for me. And in the same capacity, you believer, because you are secured through your faith in Jesus Christ, 100 trillion billion years, the largest number you could possibly fathom, you will then be able to have the cognitive reasoning ability to realize, oh my goodness, eternity with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has just scratched the surface.
Amen.
And that promise is for you through the blood of Jesus Christ.
You know what's amazing is that scripture tells you that there's power in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
You can talk about God and the culture will, you know, put up with you. The moment you start talking about Jesus, they start canceling you all
That's
over
right.
the place. That tells you the kind of power a name carries. That's why it's so important what you name your kids, where you move
That's right.
in the name. I believe there's prophetic utterance.
Yes.
That's right.
When the name is spoken, there's power to break the chains. There's power to forgive.
Yes.
And it's amazing because if Jesus was the only one that had the authority and the power to open up the seals, can you imagine what more he can do?
Yes.
That's right.
The things that we have not seen or experienced or minds cannot hold, yet Jesus, that'll make some people cancel us, right? The name of Jesus is able to restore, put you back together. Sometimes, Ricky, in this culture, we're trying to make sense of scripture. And I'm looking at YouTube and I look at TikTok and I look at Instagram. Everybody's got their own opinion. Yet, what does the Bible say? about Jesus. Read about it.
That's
right. Stop believing what we're saying. Read about what the scriptures say, who Jesus is, and you will come to the understanding and the revelation behind the name, behind the person, the entity called Jesus Christ. For this hour that we're in, Ricky, I think it's so important for us to understand, to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to know God's will, that is to have an intimate relationship with him.
That's all that matters.
Get to know him.
Amen.
Get to hear his voice. Get accustomed to learning how he talks to you, how he speaks throughout the word. You'd be surprised that Jesus has been there all this time, yet we have tried to remove him, but it doesn't work. I love Jesus. I know Dad loves Jesus. Mom loves Jesus.
That's right.
And I know you love Jesus.
Amen. That's right. And if you don't know Jesus, there's never been a better moment in your life than right now to fully surrender and sacrifice yourself to the Lord. Mondo, we have an exciting, exciting program today. We have Pastor Steve Ciccolanti with us here. He is actually the pastor of Discover Church, the largest online church in Australia. Over 360,000 subscribers follow his Christian messages. Discover Church has over 60 million views on YouTube alone. He's also the author of several books, including The Divine Code, President Trump's Pro-Christian Accomplishments, and I want to tell you that you can find his program on the PTL Tuzvin Network. It's called Look Up with Pastor Steve Ciccolanti. He brings you current events from the heart of soul-winning, end-time prophetic, and biblical justice views. The show airs on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I also want to say this, that his book, Trump's Unfinished Business, is available at his website, discoverchurch.online. Mm-hmm. Pastor Steve, we want to thank you for being with us here for a second day.
So good to be back with you. While you were just speaking and talking about the blood, I just got a word. Can I pray for people
who
are sick?
Yes.
I got this word, and I want to read it from Matthew chapter 8, okay? Somebody's got bleeding gum. Somebody's got a back pain on the left side is what I'm feeling. All right, so if you're watching TV right now and you have pain in your teeth, your gum, and in your back, I want you to receive the healing. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 8. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. This is one of the things that I ask people who want to be healed. If you've been waiting a long time, can you answer this question? What would God get out of healing you? I don't mean that you have to pay for healing, because the payment has been made by Jesus Christ. By his stripes, we were healed. But you can see in Matthew chapter 8 that it wasn't frivolous. It wasn't just glossed over. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, immediately she did something for God. What would God get out of you? That's the kind of vow that I think you need to make. There's a powerful principle in the Bible, the power of a vow. Tell God, what would you do? Would you serve him? Would you give? Would you forgive your sister? I hear somebody needs to forgive their sister. You've been in conflict. Forgive your mother. Forgive your pastor. You know, people have been hurt by previous churches. If God will get something out of you, you become a better person. I believe that healing will manifest. Can I pray over you right now? Heavenly Father, I just believe that whoever would receive this word in Matthew chapter 8 and would make a sincere vow to you, Lord, that you would receive something, an offering from them, Lord, from the heart, they would receive their healing right now. Back, be healed. That gum issue, that wisdom tooth issue, be healed. Stop bleeding. There are people who are just bleeding and bleeding, and you're embarrassed to even say it. Stop the bleeding in the name of Jesus Christ. You receive it and give God glory.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Praise
amen.
God.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Believe that the Holy Spirit is still active and moving today, that you are still able to be healed. You know, Mondo, we've seen a lot with technology that they're essentially attempting to play God. We see that there are technologies going into place where people are saying, oh, if you simply put a chip inside of your brain, you can walk again. If you simply put a chip inside of your brain, you could, you know, talk normal again. Or maybe you can use functions of a limb that you didn't have before. But we have said on the program before, you need to use the Holy Spirit. That is your advocate. That is someone who is there for you day and night, not only as a friend, not only as a comforter, but as a healer that is still able to work and active to be active today, Mondo.
You know what's so amazing? I can't believe you're talking about that, because last night I was driving Mateo to his soccer practice and we started talking about Bible prophecy. It's like what he wants to talk about, right? He's 13 years old. And he said, Dad, what's the latest advancements on artificial intelligence? And we started talking about this very issue about, you know, they're creating technology that eventually will start healing those that need healing and their nervous systems, being able to, you know, see again and all that. And he said, you know what, Dad? I still want the old fashioned.
Yes, amen.
Just the
amen.
Fact that I still want the old fashioned laying on hands and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over my life, Dad. I don't ever want to change that. If a 13-year-old can amen. Recognize that, why wouldn't this society today would recognize that we're going to be deceived? I'm reading a headline as you're saying that, and this is the latest. They are creating incredibly bizarre new technologies for the dystopian world of the future, where amen. Healing will take place and people will begin to worship this technology. Mm-hmm. People will begin to call on this technology a god. Yet the church, the key is for us to understand that there's power in the blood amen. Of Jesus. Yes. There is power amen. In the blood to lay on yes. hands and call on to be able to be healed. Yes. I think, Ricky, the lines right. are getting very blurry. And this is just the beginning. Can you imagine what it's going to look like 5-10 years from now? We won't recognize society with the kind of technology that we're seeing develop right now.
That's right.
Yet is leading us all the way to where we are right now, according to the timeline of the book of Revelation.
Yeah. That's right. You know, I believe that there's somebody watching today and you were skeptical about the healing power of the Holy Spirit, the healing power of Jesus Christ. But I believe that you had those issues. You have asked the Holy Spirit, yes, I want your healing, and that you have been healed. If that's you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us anytime at 1-888-988-1588. We love nothing more than to hear the testimonies of the people who get to watch the show and not only receive salvation, but receive healing.
Amen.
Because Pastor Jim Baker, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, he believed the Holy Spirit is not limited to a laying on of the hands in a physical person. It doesn't mean you have to go into a church and lay hands on somebody. Yes, that is still good. That is still applicable. That still works. But he believed, hey, there is no reason that I can't sit here and you can't be watching the television from thousands of miles away and receive the same healing. Because who are we to say the Holy Spirit is bound by our physical limitations?
Yeah.
We're absolutely nobody to say that.
Listen, when Catherine Kuhlman was introduced to the world via television, you know, Dad said, hey, why don't you pray for those watching right now and pray for the healing of their backs and their minds? And yet she said, I don't know if that's going to work, Jim. She said, do it by faith.
That's right.
That changed the way we prayed yeah. over television. This lady, Catherine Kuhlman, anointed woman of God, began to pray over
right.
the people watching. And listen, miracle after miracle, I believe that the same power exists today. And as you read the scripture, Pastor Steve, I believe that point of contact, people need to believe and have faith once again that there's power in healing when we agree with one another.
Yes.
The Bible says in Matthew 18 and 19, read that scripture. It's so powerful because there's power in agreement.
Yes.
There's something that Pastor Steve touched on too, is the power to forgive. A lot of you may be sick because you're holding on to unforgiveness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you let go of that unforgiveness, I believe that you will begin to see a healing in your marriage. You'll begin to see a healing
amen.
In your family, begin to see a healing in this nation. And I believe that the power that can transform lives in person can also be done via television.
Amen.
That's
I
right.
hope you pray that prayer with Pastor Steve.
Amen. Pastor Steve, I want to thank you for being bold with the Holy Spirit's message and being bold and never backing down from the message of Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Steve, you have been, I feel like you've been all over the world, but right now you are actually currently residing in the United States of America. If you don't mind, can you tell the people kind of a little bit about what you're doing and where you are currently located?
Well, I've been pastoring for about 23, 24 years in Australia. So
wow.
a lot of people know that, but they don't know that I've come over here to the United States. I had a word of prophecy about 20 years ago. The Lord told me that I would step foot in all 50 states and preach in all 50 states. So it's beginning to happen. I've landed in Florida and we've planted a church in Florida. We have an invitation to plant a church in Hawaii. So we're prayerfully considering that and possibly getting a Goshen. That's a term that I know you guys are very much involved in. You understand. So, besides planting a church, besides getting on TV like this, God said, I have to step foot in all 50 states and bring the message, the healing reconciling message of biblical justice to the church. And this would awaken the church. It would be part of the third great awakening. So we are here.
Praise God. Pastor Steve, what does biblical justice look like?
Biblical justice looks just like, in biblical, it looks like what the Bible does. I mean, the cross is a picture of biblical justice,
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
If God was not into justice, we would not have the cross.
That's right.
So sin has to be punished, and Jesus took the punish for our sins.
Amen.
That is a
Amen.
Form of biblical
Praise
justice.
God.
If we would receive that, then we have been absolved and we have been cleared of our guilt. However, it was still punished on Jesus. If you look at biblical justice in the Old Testament, you see it many times. You saw Elijah, who's actually called to come in the end time, and he called down fire on the prophets of Baal. They were unrepentant. They were leading the nation astray. Sounds like America today. Where's the spirit of Elijah? But to call down fire, you have to be able to stand in the fire you call on. So this is where repentance, the heart of love, grace, forgiveness, all of that is necessary, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is we're about to be welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge. And this characteristic of Jesus has been hidden from the church, that he is not just a righteous friend, but he is a judge of the living and the dead. And we've been given that power. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more you should judge the things pertaining to this life?" So right now we're not seeing the church act in a just way. If you take a simple case like family issues and divorce, what do pastors now say? They say, "Well, I'm not qualified to help you. Please go and pay some psychologist." And then you get German philosophy and psychology, and it messes up the marriage. We should be coming back to the Bible. Parenting, marriage, divorce, business, all of these things, we are the answer in Christ. We have the answers. And it goes all the way up to the injustices that Donald Trump is facing, the injustices of an election that lacks transparency, that you cannot even question on big tech and social media, the censorship of very well-known Christians and conservatives. These are all issues of injustice. And if I can add, Trump, the main reason he was raised up is he's an agent of justice. Like him or hate him, whether you think his tweets are mean, what is he about? Why is he here? Because God called him to be an agent of justice.
Amen.
So whenever he touches on that, boy, he has success. When he ignores it, he gets clobbered. He gets legal lawfare, and he's in, you know, they're trying to bankrupt him right now.
Amen. You know, we have had a lot of talk. We are going to be discussing President Donald Trump here in just a few moments. We've had a lot of questions about something that was said on the last show. I would like if we could readdress it, and then maybe if you could expound on it. On April 8th, 2024, there is an event happening. Could you tell us what that event is, and why should the church be looking at this event as something that maybe is biblical prophecy?
Okay, so we'll give credit to Mark Biltz first, that he's the one that brought the Luna Tetrad to the attention of the world.
Yes.
That was 2014-15. I was preaching that, it's 10 years ago. That's amazing. More than 10 years ago, I was preaching that in the mission field in Australia, the Pacific Islands, and in Asia. And those things have been confirmed. I mean, there were major issues. Ukraine started in 2014. If you want to know how many things happened in 2014, that's one of the issues, right? That's when we overthrew the elected government of Ukraine. And that's when Russia got the signal that NATO is pushing in towards, we told them not an inch to the east, not an inch towards Russia. And Russia realized this is they're not going to keep their word, the Americans. And so Crimea and now Ukraine, all of that started in 2014. I think the Tetrad has been confirmed. Now we've got the solar eclipses, three of them, starting in 2017, confirmed by Hurricane Harvey, the costliest natural disaster in American history. I stood in Houston. I'm about to go back to Houston, by the way. And I stood in Houston and I said, this is America's final warning.
Wow.
Then you've got the October 2023, and then you've got very soon, April 8, 2024. Those three eclipses cross continental United States. That's one of the significances. And they spell Aleph, they spell Tav. The first one went across all these different Salems, which should have told us, by the way. Salem, it's in American history. You study the Salem witch trials. So what has happened since then? You've got all these witch trials of conservatives. We've got people who peacefully protested for a fair election sitting and rotting in jail right now. We've got a witch hunt of anybody who ever supported Donald Trump, was in his administration. Peter Navarro was one, Mike Lindell, and so many more, General Flynn. They're all being persecuted. It's a witch hunt all the way to the president himself, where he could be deplatformed. So that 2017 eclipse, starting in all the different Salems, I think I counted about 7 or 8 Salems that it went across. That was very significant. A witch trial was coming. And the 2024 one, I believe it's war. And I'm going to say Mark Biltz gave us a clue about this, but I just, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I wrote the Divine Code. So I think I need to add one eclipse. Mark said that there are 8 total solar eclipses over the U.S. since 1776. I believe that he might have missed one, so I'm going to add that one in 1918, all right? So here, there's a real pattern. You take a look at these eclipses. You ask, why should we pay attention? Eclipses are normal astronomical events. Yeah, but if they're forming the letter Aleph Tav, the 2 first and last letters of Hebrew, and it's the last one is coming on the last day of the religious year of the Hebrew calendar, there's so many, many significances to it. So take a look at this, 1778 to 1780. You're in the middle of the American Revolutionary War. The Constitution hasn't been written yet. And you have 2 total solar eclipses there. 1860, 1869, 1878. At that point, you're in the middle of the American Civil War. And, you know, that killed more lives, more Americans than all the other wars combined. Then you've got 1918, which I did not hear Brother Mark say, but June 1918 was very important because that points to the pandemic that we had recently for 3 years. That one coincided with the 1918 Spanish flu at that time. So it doesn't always seem to point to war, but what Mark was saying is twice now it points to war, the first Revolutionary War, then the Civil War, then it points to the Spanish flu. And then you've got 1970 and 1979, 2 more solar eclipses going across the United States. And that's obviously the Vietnam War, a big part of modern American history. Now, here's the thing. It's happened 3 times where it coincided with war. Now you've got 2017, 2023, and 2024, all exceptional solar eclipses. And I believe what God is warning us is if we don't repent, and if we don't start preaching and believing in justice against all these pedophiles, all these corrupt people in government and leadership and in the school boards, if we keep blessing our enemies, then we're actually shaking hands with evil. We're making peace with evil. We give evil a chance. We give them grace. We give them mercy. But if they start touching the children, if they start raping and murdering, if they start indoctrinating the children so they're even confused about their God-given identity, we must now cry out for justice. And we see this happen many times in the New Testament. I don't know why we don't preach it, but I preach it, and I'm sent by God to preach it. That's like in a nutshell, there's more and more to this. I don't know how much you can handle, but that's why in a nutshell, we have to pay attention to the solar eclipses that are coming. And the last one's April 8th, 2014.
Amen. Wow. One thing I love about the PTL Television Network audience and the Jim Baker Family Show audience is that they can handle the information. They have proved over time and time again that they are studiers of the Word of God. They are studiers of the events happening. There have been times on the show where we say, hey, X, Y, and Z happened. And we get letters that say, no, X, Y, and another letter happened. You got to make sure they're always cross-checking. So I appreciate that. You, the viewer watching right now, you are truly, I would say, the most educated audience. The PTL Television Network, the most educated audience in the entire world. And I'd say that confidently.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Steve, some men and women of God are saying that there will be no election in 2024. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that, you know, evil, if you look at even Adolf Hitler, they always try to do things legally. I think that it would cross a line that makes their evil way too obvious if they don't have an election. Of course, it's entirely possible. If they're so desperate, you know, they do these things not because they're winning. They do these things because they're losing.
Yes.
And they know the will of the people. And they know where people stand. You go across America, you know where people stand. People are fed up with the inflation. They're fed up with the lies. They're fed up with the pedophiles. They're fed up with giving our money to Ukraine. Why are we doing this? These people are not even good people in Ukraine, the government I'm talking about. Why? So to call off an election would just completely expose them. Everybody would just, I think, would go nuts and say, no, we oppose this. So I think what they're going to try to do is their game plan right now. They're going to stuff the ballots. They're going to have mail-in votes. They're going to have all these illegal immigrants, more than 7 million people. 7 million people is greater than the population of, I think Fox said, 36 states in America. So they're going to try to do it in a way that looks legit. And that's how evil has always acted. Even Adolf Hitler wants to pass legit laws before he does the evil that he did in the Holocaust. So I don't feel that that's going to happen. I don't feel that they're just going to call off the election. I think it's going to be more subtle. And that means that if Christians don't wake up and go vote, if Christians still talk about the separation between church and state, which is not in the Bible, if they still talk about our votes doesn't matter, I'm just one vote, then we would be in trouble. But if just the Christian church woke up to justice and realized, you know, we're agents of justice, we can make this nation a better place, and it starts with us choosing a better leader, boom, we're going to see revival.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
And I just want to throw a little caveat in there. For the amount of money that, and you guys know this, but for the amount of money which we have sent Ukraine, just a fraction of that, Mondo, we could have fixed and improved our power grid system here in the United States. Our power grid system that, if it went down, we just had a gentleman on the show. He said, best case scenario, 2/3 of the United States of America passes away. Worst case scenario, if the power grid were to be shut down by an EMP, up to 95% of America would pass away in the first few years. We have heard many, many, many men and women come and bring this type of information. We need to be focusing on creating a strong America.
Yes.
We could do that with just a fraction of what we've sent in foreign aid to Ukraine thus far. That's just my little caveat, Pastor Steve. I just wanted to make sure the audience got a hold of that. Now, I have a question for you about President Trump, because you've been with some of the Trumps. Why is President Trump getting such a raw deal in our court system? And before you answer that, I want you to watch this small clip from Fox Business, and then we will go back to that question.
How do you think Trump's fine impacts investors and businesses in New York?
Well, developers are all asking the same question. Is this fine penalty and interest commensurate with the act, the crime, so to speak? Because, as remember, there's no money's lost. There's no victim here. So essentially just under $500 million fine for a situation where no monies were lost and the harmed party, supposedly the banks, were fully paid back. So we're just wondering, does this make sense? And asking ourselves, how long will it take to the appellate court to bring it down to what a reasonable number might be? I have no idea what that is. But in the meantime, while this is going through the system, none of us want to put new money to work in New York until it gets resolved. But I'm very concerned about the next step of seizing assets. Capital comes to America because of the stability of the justice system. And this is not stable in terms of many people's eyes, domestically and internationally. Seizing assets is what happens in Venezuela. It doesn't happen in New York. And so this is a little scary.
And of course, we heard Letitia James say it. You know, she said it very clearly. If Trump can't come up with the $400 million, we'll just start seizing his assets. So you just heard Kathy Hochul say, look, this is an extenuating situation. This is an extraordinary situation. I don't know if you're ever going to get in their ire. I mean, if you become the person that they hate, maybe you're next. I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm worried about it. You know, New York is one of the top states for hydropower and inexpensive electricity, which right now is the hottest area of commercial real estate developed, AI data centers. There are $3.6 billion projects, create 400 jobs, 5 more jobs after they're stabilized. So it's a very desirable investment. In aggregate, $3.6 billion and 80 acres. So you'd think New York would want one of those. But I don't know an AI developer that or a data center developer that's looking at New York right now. That would be upstate New York near Niagara Falls. The states that are being considered now as this, so it's a quiet exodus of capital leaving New York. It's going to places like North Dakota, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Montana, Tennessee. They have the same power.
Pastor Steve, just shy of $500 million with a B dollars. Again, the question is posed, why is President Trump getting such a horrible deal in our court system?
Well, it's very clear to me that Trump has been called of God to be an agent of justice. This is something that people don't understand, and they take a dislike to his personality, and maybe that's not agreeable to you, but that's not the issue. He may not be a man of God, but he is God's man. He's been chosen by God to be an agent of justice. And so he has to learn from the Bible what biblical justice looks like, or he has to go through the court injustices and learn for himself. And that's what he's learning. The impeachment, the unfair penalty, $355 million, is just cruel and unusual punishment designed to bankrupt him and his family. The prohibition for him to not do business in his own state, New York, where he's, you know, part of the culture, part of the fabric of the culture.
That's right.
It's obvious, right, that he's suffering the injustice, but so have other Americans. So many, many Americans that don't have his profile, don't have billions of dollars to fight back, they have been suffering these false accusations and defamations and unjust rulings for decades and decades. And so Trump has to now learn through his own experience. I don't think it's for, you know, to harm him or to defeat him. It's actually going to make him better. He has to learn to be an agent of justice. If I may say, I wrote 10 things about biblical justice that he really needs to implement. God downloaded to me 10 prophecies to save America. It's called Trump's Unfinished Business. And this was a blueprint for him. There's so many things that if he had done in this book before the last election, it would have saved him so much pain. I had the privilege to put this right into the hand of Laura Trump and Eric Trump when we spoke at Reawakening. I've been with them a couple of times. We're going back, actually, in Detroit, if anyone wants to come and see great speakers in June in Detroit, Michigan. But I know that they're listening, but they're a bit confused. You know, somebody has to disciple. I hear a lot of pastors are close to Trump. Somebody has to bring the message that what is your purpose? Before you start a war, you have to say, what is the goal? What are we trying to achieve? And his number one objective is biblical justice in this nation. That's why he gets clobbered, because I don't think that he's learned the model from the Bible itself. The good news is every time when he dealt with the issue of justice, he had success. Every time when he freed Christian hostages in Turkey and North Korea, my goodness, he was a hero. Everybody could see it on TV. But when he avoided it, that's when he met failure, harassment, opposition, and he ignored. We have to say that Trump was not, you know, perfect. I know I got a lot of Trump supporters going to hate me for saying that, but he's just a man, and he did not do everything that he said he would do. So, for instance, he said he's going to investigate the 30,000 deleted emails. I mean, there are people who are rotting in jail today, American citizens, for doing much, much less. That's lying about 30,000 emails and smashing government cell phones. He didn't investigate that. How about Julian Assange? He's a man who's been rotting in jail for 10, he's an Australian, by the way, like me, 10 years, no charge, he's sitting in jail. We accuse communist countries, North Korea, of doing things like this. President Trump could have and should have pardoned Julian Assange, but he didn't do that. So all these things happen, you know, I believe the principle of reaping and sowing. It's a just thing, right? You reap what you sow. Now, I'm not cursing him. I'm not speaking a curse about that. But I'm saying once we understand that, we become better sowers. Let's sow justice. Let's sow forgiveness. Let's sow what is righteous. And that's what he's got to do in the second administration. Historically, if you study American presidencies, you know, people who get elected the second time, and sometimes there was a third, they get worse and worse. They get worse and worse. Power makes people drunk and doesn't help people. I think Trump can be the exception. He's got to surround himself with good prophetic voices, not just pastoral voices at this time, but prophetic voices who will just tell him like it is without being afraid they're going to lose a photo op or whatever favor they might get from being around him. We need to just speak the prophetic word. Deal with the justice issues. You said you would do it. Deal with the border. You said you'd build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. I understand that there were oppositions along the way, but he's got to stay with justice and nothing else. That's how he will get out of this legal harassment, I believe.
Praise God. Wow. Now, I have a question. If Donald Trump is not elected, or if the 2024 elections are canceled for some odd reason, do you think that that could spark a potential civil war?
Yeah, well, let me say this. With the civil war, I think that the civil war has been prophesied. There's a prophecy that George Washington saw that there would be two civil wars. There are other people who have seen this coming. And I believe because we're in the red horse, I'm sorry, it's not a lot of, you know, I have hundreds of hours of teaching yes. at my website, but I can't go through it all right now about Revelation. But I believe that we are now in Revelation 6. It's not tribulation. We're in pre-tribulation. Revelation 6 verses 3 and 4 with the red horse. Because of that, it is the time for something to happen globally, you know, wars. But civil war doesn't come in the Bible because we didn't elect Donald Trump. I want to make that clear, right? It's not because they rigged an election or Donald Trump doesn't get elected. No. Civil war in the Bible is a sign of judgment against sin. So we find that there was civil war in Israel. Israel was a united kingdom, you know, when it was under Saul, David, and Solomon. What happened to it? The rest of the Bible, you see that they're split. There's a northern kingdom, Samaria. There's a southern kingdom called Judah. What happened? And it was because Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was unjust. That one act of injustice split the nation. How about us? You think we have the sin of Rehoboam, of overtaxation? We're way beyond Rehoboam, way beyond. And the things that we've done, we've rigged other nations' elections. We've redrawn other nations' borders. No wonder our borders are now porous. No wonder our election was very questionable and not transparent last time, because we have actually sent operatives to overthrow other governments. And this is all in history in Guatemala and Honduras and go all the way to Ukraine. It's happened over and over again. So unless the church realizes this is an issue of justice, we're going to have civil war. Civil war is not because you didn't support, you know, our political candidate. We can never say such a thing. But it is a judgment on sin, and sin is overflowing the rim of the cup. It's just, it's time to wake up and not just play, you know, user-friendly church and happy clappy church. We got to get serious about praying, repenting for ourselves. And once we're clean, only once we're clean, then we can call on God and say, God, give us justice. Deuteronomy Amen. 32 verse 4 Amen. Says, God is a rock. He's the rock. His works are perfect. His ways Amen. Are perfect. And all his ways are justice.
Amen.
He's trying to demonstrate justice to our nation. So we don't flow with him in this timeline, in this season of justice, then I think that's what would cause the civil war.
Wow.
That's right.
Powerful.
And if you're just tuning in, you're watching the PTL Television Network, the Jim Baker Family Show. We have Pastor Steve Ciccolanti with us today, and he has a few books and a few other things. You can go. I'm talking, you could spend hours and hours and hours on his website. It's on the screen right now. Discoverchurch.online. I encourage you, go check out his website. Go look at all the books he has to offer, all the teachings mm-hmm. on Revelation. We don't have enough time on our network to fill the amount of knowledge in which he could put. So please go and do that. Discover
yes,
Network.
That's right. And remember, if you haven't watched the PTL Television Network, go to the PTLnetwork.com. And Steve Ciccolanti, Pastor Steve, is there with Look Up. His show is back on the PTL
that's
Television
right.
Network. So you want to make sure to tune in on the network. And I encourage you, go on your phone. This is the easiest way. You can watch on Roku, Apple TV, but we have the cell phone app for your Android or your Apple TV. You can watch it anytime on the go. And we encourage you to tune in to his show, Look Up.
That's right. Now, Pastor, you had recently been talking about a lot of countries. You have been to El Salvador recently. Can you tell us about that trip a little bit?
Yeah, in fact, it was the ambassador of El Salvador, who watches me on YouTube, she invited me to go, and we were going to meet President Nayib Bukele, but it was
wow.
that week when he had his newborn child. So we didn't get to meet him. We met someone in his family. We had a very nice trip, and you could just feel the air. You could feel the refreshed atmosphere of Christian revival.
Amen.
What I saw was not Bitcoin change El Salvador. That's what, you know, a lot of visitors are going to get attracted to El Salvador because they now use Bitcoin as legal tender. And I think that's a great thing. Personally, I think that's a great thing. All right. Because you can't print any more Bitcoin. It's a finite amount of currency. That's an honest money. That's a definition of honest money. But I don't believe that it's just about Bitcoin and money and the election. I really saw revival. I talked to the man who spearheaded National Day of Prayer. He said when he first went to pastors, he's not a pastor. He said, we need to pray. We need to get the leaders in our Congress, their parliament, to pray together and repent for the nation. He said, who are you? The pastor said, you're nobody. You're not even ordained. You're not graduated from a Bible school. But he stuck with it. And he said, there's got to be national prayer. When I went there, their National Day of Prayer was not in one city. They went to all 14 provinces. By the way, the name El Salvador means the Savior. The city, the capital is San Salvador, you know, Saint or Holy Savior. And then 14 is the number of salvation. Remember that, 14 is the number of salvation. So This nation has been marked out. I mean, I think if Jesus was ever going to have a headquarters in the Americas, it's probably not going to be Washington, D.C. It might be in San Salvador. They've named it correctly, the Savior. They honored the Lord there. And that prayer is not the kind of mealy-mouthed prayer that we pray, I'm sorry to say, in the West. All we do now is we just say, we have no authority. Romans 13 says the government that's chosen, that's there, you know, we have to submit to them. The American revolutionary leaders did not interpret Romans 13 that way, but that's how we're interpreting it. So we give all the power away. We abdicate our role in justice, and then we're begging the courts and we're begging the secular world that has no sense of justice to help us to see our side, to let our children read the Bible, to let our kids pray before they play football. It's ridiculous. We do not see that in El Salvador. What the mamas who lost their sons, who lost their family, there was so much violence in El Salvador that they were the most murderous peacetime country on earth. Okay, so excluding war, they were the most murderous country in the world. And now it's so safe. What did they do? The praying mamas and the crying families, they prayed for justice over MS-13. They prayed for justice over the barrios, the gangs in that place. And sure enough, they all got incarcerated. The place got cleaned up. And when there's no crime, there's peace, prosperity comes, but people's land prices go up, everyone's happy. It's an amazing thing. I really believe it didn't start with Bukele. It started with the prayers of the saints.
Praise
when
God.
They change. And this is what my message is we need to change. We need to learn how to pray justice. It has to begin with us. So I know a lot of people during COVID, for instance, they were scammed. And all sorts of crypto scams, business scams. America is like perfected scams. So I started teaching this. I said, you pray justice over your personal situation. And we had this. We had one lady in our church in Australia lost $300,000, her retirement fund, to a Bitcoin scam. I said, I'm going to teach you what to do. All right, because the lawyers wouldn't help her. This company was offshore. There was no way they're going to get the money back. And I said, here, scam proof. The things that I wrote in this book, scam proof your life in the end time. Here are things to do. Not just pray, but things to do. Very, very thin book. She did it, and in about 10 days, 10, the number of justice, in about 10 days, $300,000 came back to her.
Wow.
And I said, it's not always going to happen that way. It's not always going to happen the same way. But once you understand this principle, it's amazing. God is waiting for us to ask for justice. He's waiting for us. Once we see it in our lives, now we're confident to say, you know what? This abortion clinic, this person that it might be a pedophile, these crimes that are being hidden, I want to pray for exposure. But you've got to be clean before you pray that. You've got to be repentant and clean. Once you're clean, you pray for that over your city, over your council, over your state, and you're going to see like this, justice Amen. Will come down, and we will have joy Amen. And peace in the United States of America.
Praise God.
Amen. Wow.
We've been talking about El Salvador recently. I want to play a clip for you of the president talking about globalism.
They say globalism comes to die at CPAC. I'm here to tell you that in El Salvador, it's already dead. But if you want globalism to die here too, you must be willing to unapologetically fight against everything and everyone that stands for it. Fight for your freedoms, fight for your rights. The next president of the United States must not only win an election, he must have the vision, the will, and the courage to do whatever it takes. And above all, he must be able to identify the underlying forces that will conspire him, that will conspire against him. These dark forces are already taking over your country. The problem is much like the metaphor of the boiling frog. Once the water boils, it's already too late. We also had many apparently isolated problems in the 60s and the 70s. And we failed to realize as a country the severity of them until it became a civil war. By the time we reacted, it was already too late. We were already boiled like the frog. And it took us 50 years, two wars, 250,000 lives, and a third of our population displaced, and a near miracle to get our country back. We are already seeing these symptoms in the United States. Big cities in decline, like Baltimore, Portland, New York, just to name a few. Places where crime and drugs have become the daily norm. and even accepted and promoted by the government. How many young people have you lost to the streets of Philadelphia or San Francisco, to fentanyl? Can you imagine how it will be in the next 5, 10, or 15 years? The same thing was happening in El Salvador. In the span of less than a decade, gangs took control of all the country and our society. They evolved into a parallel government, controlling elections and even political parties. Every aspect of the daily life of most people was controlled by the gangs. Murder capital of the world is a tragic title to hold. Getting rid of that was the bare minimum we had to achieve in order to even start thinking about rebuilding our country.
Those are strong words from the president of El Salvador.
Yeah.
Pastor, can you tell us what you thought about that video you just watched?
Yeah, well, I really like him. He confesses to be a Christian, a Palestinian Christian, in fact. And there's a lot of problems going on in Gaza or Palestine right now. So he really could bring some solution to that area. I've got a lot to say about that. But you know what he said is just in the book of Revelation, right? We have forgotten the war that we're in. And this war goes all the way to the book of Revelation. Jesus commends, take a look at this, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he commends the church in Ephesus, and he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Where are the church leaders who say, you know what, we can't stand, we can't endure evil leaders anymore, evil politicians and unelected people who try to control the United States? So what are these forces that Bukele is talking about? You're talking about the World Economic Forum. You're talking about unelected people who are conspiring to change the currency or change the laws and change even the energy that we use, trying to control all of these things through a climate change agenda. And we have to realize there's an enemy out there. The church doesn't seem to be aware of this. And America's like the nicest place to ignore all the problems of the world. But that's going to change. That's going to come to the United States, just like El Salvador. They did not change until he said, Bukele said, a third of the population was displaced. So I have a church in Australia where we have El Salvadorans come. Why? Because they migrated during those wartime criminal gang, you know, running rampant period, and people ran away from El Salvador. Well, what if it happens here? Well, we have to run away from America, from the United States of America. Well, you know what? Then finally, we would take the gospel to the world. I always see God's hand in everything. No matter what happens, God's going to get glory out of it in the end. But I wish that we would just choose to obey the gospel, choose to elect good people, choose to take the gospel out. Yeah. I don't know if I'm answering my question anymore, but I'm very passionate about this. I think El Salvador is a very interesting example of how a nation had to go through civil war and then they changed.
Amen.
You know,
I want to mention something because I lived through that first civil war and then the second civil war that the gangs took over.
Yeah.
Yet they said, well, deal with it in your own land. Well, that created a massive exodus of people that were watching now coming to the United States. You know, this is what happens when America doesn't deal with the problems at home.
Right.
They want other people to deal with it, but then we don't want to deal with the influx of people coming over that are escaping the, I can't even begin to tell you some of the craziest things that happened, but I believe, it's my personal opinion, that the key and the solution to the Americas, Central America, is the example of surrendering your life to Christ.
Yes.
This president, he is openly describing his personal relationship with Jesus Christ to the nation.
Yes.
Anytime he speaks to his cabinet, anytime he speaks to the people, he is openly giving God the glory.
Amen.
It is the most unbelievable sight you could ever see.
Amen.
Yet America doesn't want to deal with the crime problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the solution for El Salvador, Guatemala, and of course Honduras, Panama, Costa Rica, is a leader that can fear God,
yeah.
A leader that understands the scripture, a leader that can understand the authority that we have been given as believers on how to deal with these common issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the message that this man delivered was one of the most important messages. And you're going to begin to see a lot of Salvadorians going back to El Salvador. They never wanted to leave anyways.
Right.
But yet, what do you do when you have to escape death? What do you do when you have to escape all the crime and the extortion and the rapes and the gangs taking over? They took over the politics.
Amen.
Just like we've seen in America, just in a different way. But listen, the message that this man delivered was one of the most important messages for America in this hour.
That's right.
Who we elect next will depend on the future of America.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
The pastor, have Christians become too comfortable in America?
Well, there's no more comfortable country in the world than America, but that's all changing. So I think America has been allowed to be complacent because, again, this you got the U.S. dollar, so you can print money and you cannot have exports and manufacturing and still live a pretty comfortable standard of living. This exceptional rarity in history is ending. America is feeling the pinch now, but I think, again, it can be all for good. Once we realize that, you know, we've been under the blessing of God. We're not just under capitalism or great founding fathers. We've been under the blessing of God Almighty, under the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to return to him. And we need to do what America was called to do. America's supposed to be a bright, shining light. You know, Israel was supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. The Bible says it clearly. You're meant to be a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Israel didn't do that. And look at how Israel was judged. It disappeared as a nation for so long because they hated the Gentiles. They actually, you know, said, we're the chosen people, so we don't have to deal with the rest of the world. America has very much that same characteristic of Israel just before she was destroyed, right?
Wow.
Still, God did it in mercy because he brought them back. But America really just reminds me of Israel in so many ways when they were in rebellion. And so it doesn't help when you're too rich and too comfortable. Sometimes just having problems make better people. So the rest of the world does not have this luxury that America has, but it's coming to an end. I want to go back, if I may, with Bukele.
Please.
You know, he said that these forces of globalism are already upon you. You need to realize that these people want a great reset. You know, it's like saying that they want the second coming of Jesus Christ without Jesus. That's what a reset is. God's going to reset the world. But they want this in a satanic version.
That's right.
And they have spokesmen, which I believe that they're already here. You know, I think many people ask, like, is the Antichrist here? I don't know if the Antichrist is here that I can name yet, but I believe his false prophet is already here. And that just tells you how close we are to the fulfillment of the rest of the book of Revelation. So these are the enemies you got to be watching out for. The WEF, the people that are these young leaders being pumped up and promoted by the World Economic Forum, totally unelected people. Klaus Schwab, who tells other leaders like in Australia and in New Zealand and Canada what to say, what to do, even though, like with the pandemic, we saw that it was just utterly not scientific, just outright deception. They're getting their commands from somewhere, and these are the evil forces that Nayib Bukele is talking about. We have to actively pray against that. We have to actively say they're not telling the truth. They're not trustworthy people, and we should not believe them, because I do believe the Antichrist, and I believe the false prophet has already been revealed, in my opinion, and they're coming from this group.
I would urge you to go back to the beginning of this program and even go back to a day one on our video on demand. You can also look at all of his books that he has to offer. You can go to his website, discoverchurch.online. You can see all of his work. You can see all the books he's done and more. So we want to urge you to go check that out as soon as possible. But Nana, what he is saying lines so perfectly up with the message in which we preach.
Yes.
There is a reason why we come up here every single day. You allow us into your home by turning on the PTL television network.
Right.
And we preach a message that says, yes, the king is returning. Jesus is coming soon, but we want the church to be prepared.
Yes, that's right. And of course, Ricky, you always in this ministry, one of our pillars is be prepared spiritually. And that's why we bring you guests like this with Pastor Steve to help educate and know to be able to see the times that we're living in. The other way that we prepare that has been near and dear and it's been embedded into our hearts and part of our vision for our partners through Pastor Jim and Pastor Lori, our mom and dad, is preparedness, is the practical means of preparedness. And so that's what we've done. I want to encourage you. Over the last year and a half, you've watched our ministry go through some transitions and changes, and they've been wonderful. And one of those things has been partnering with like-minded businesses, ministries, through That's affiliate right. programs that can help you in your preparedness journey. I had someone tell me, they said, do you realize that when you go to the website, jimbakershow.com, it is an entire one-stop shop for anyone who's wanting to prepare, whether they need long-term storage food with up to 25-year shelf life food. One of my absolute favorites during this season is gardening seeds. These are heirloom yes. seeds. We've partnered with the Ark. Ark heirloom seeds. You can get the backyard kit, the all-in-one. These are heirloom seeds that will give you food and its legacy from generation to generation. And so I encourage you to visit these affiliate sites.
Yes.
Whether it be seeds, whether it be long-term food storage, generators, also Faraday Defense, who helps you prepare in the event of an EMP attack.
Amen.
So they have given us access to their entire catalogs of product. So I want to encourage you to visit our website. That's jimbakershow.com. Go to our store. You click on that large banner on the front of our website, and it will take you to start looking through all the affiliate programs that we have partnered with. Remember, if you want to call our toll-free number, that's 1-888-988-1588. You can do that today. And I want to mention, Ricky, really
Please.
Quickly, hey, listen, if you have not saved the date, Ready Now Expo,
yes.
it's going to be an entire 4-day event starting April the 11th through the 14th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at Morningside. And we are going to bring prophetic teachers who are going to help you understand the signs of the times.
The lineup is crazy.
That's right.
I mean, it's amazing.
Plus, we're going to do product. So many of our product vendors that we've partnered
That's
with
right.
through the Jim Baker Show, the affiliates, they're going to be here to help you with your needs as well. So make sure you go to our website and check out that Save the Date for the Ready Now Expo Preparedness and Homesteading.
That's right. We were just building the lineup yesterday in the offices, me, Mondo, Lori,
yes.
a lot of other team members. And each day got more and more
right.
exciting.
Pretty
we're
amazing.
Like, oh, this person would be, I mean, we're essentially, Mondo, we're going to be doing shows, but we're doing round tables.
Yes.
I mean, some of the highest intellects in the Christian prophetic realm, in the Christian world right now, are going to be here in person and on Skype for
That's
the
right.
Ready Now Expo.
And what the powerful thing is that few days before that, a prophetic
yeah.
event happening
Incredible.
In the sky.
I know.
I want to hear what those prophets have to say. I want to hear what the word has to say. If I was you, I would make plans right now. JimBakershow.com. Reserve your time here. We're going to have incredible days and the seminars, prayer chapel,
right,
and
services at night.
Services at night you won't want to miss. And listen, you need to hear what God is saying during this time.
We want to thank Pastor Steve Chicalanti for being on with
yes.
us. And as you tune off for today, I want you to remember one thing. If you don't remember anything else from this show, remember this. God loves you. He really
thank
does.
Bye,
God, for today.
Join us for our Ready Now Expo, April 11th through the 14th. We have an incredible lineup of guests who will be here at Morningside USA with us. We have Dave Robbins, Pastor Steve Chicalanti, Joshua Giles will be joining us, along with special guests will be Skyping like Rick Joyner, Michael Snyder, and the list continues. We want you to come to Morningside USA and be a part of an entire weekend of seminars and workshops and hands-on training for preparedness and homesteading. We hope that you will join us.